Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Two Cups of Tea. I'm Chris Heath, and today I've travelled to Abergele in North Wales. And with the memory-boosting help of tea and biscuits, I'm going to hear the life story of another old legend in his golden years. Here's a few choice selections to reel you in like mackerel.
And there's Mum on her hands and knees as she looks up at me. Cut your costume. Excuse me, but have you got any lady's shoe size 7, please? The curtain's opened.
Yeah.
And all these children on, and there's little Donald. Dressed as an Indian with a turban. Keep your hand on your apron.
So let's go in and meet Joe Alberston. He's 89 years old, a born performer, and a lovely old guy. Let's hear the cheesy theme tune, please.
So, we're in Abergele, but you started out in Manchester, is that right?
Manchester, yeah. I was born in Manchester.
Yeah.
In St Mary's Hospital, which is was the maternity hospital.
Yeah.
And that was in 1928, the 17th of August, 1928.
17th, so you're a Leo.
I'm a Leo.
So you're a born performer.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, and Leos also like the sound of their own voice, did you know that?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I'm 19th of August.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's the one, it takes one to know one.
19th of August, oh, great. That's great, oh, I like that.
So whereabouts in Manchester were you when you were born? Where were your family living?
I went to lived in Middleton.
All right.
Which is it North Manchester?
Yeah.
North Manchester. So I lived in a little village which was between Manchester and Middleton.
Yeah.
Called Rhodes. You know the island of Rhodes? Well, it's spelt the same. Just past Eaton Park, and you come to this little village called Rhodes. And then if you go through the village, you come to Middleton.
So what was the setup at home? Was it you and your mum and your dad?
Yeah, my mum and dad, and I had a sister, and then we had a brother. He's 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And they thought it was an afterthought, like she was.
So he was an afterthought?
It was an afterthought.
Does he love hearing that when you tell him?
No, he doesn't really.
No, I mean, he doesn't.
Me up.
So are you still in contact with him?
Oh, yes, yes. I every Sunday morning, I ring him at 10:30.
Yeah. Do you call that the afterthought for the day?
Yes, he's great. He's Donald. He was trained as an electrician. Yes, he used to work for a firm that did televisions and things, and he did rewiring houses and all this sort of thing. You know, but he's retired now, of course. But he's a bit of a lad. You know.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's very funny.
So let's go back to 1928 in Rhodes and your family. So you were you the eldest of your brothers and sisters?
I was the eldest in the family, yeah.
So you ruled the roost
Well, I don't know what I did. I think my sister.
Well, that's what sisters are like.
Than I was. Yeah, she was about 2 years younger than me, and then of course, it went all those years, and then had my brother, which was 1938.
So, what were your mum and dad like?
Oh, they were fine. They were all right. They were lovely. My mum was a bit like Hilda Baker.
Was
she? Remember Hilda Baker?
Yes, I do.
She used to come out with these, what do they call, malapropisms.
Malapropisms. You used to say the wrong things.
I remember when my wife and I went down, when we were first married.
Yeah.
We used to go down and visit them. And my father had varnished the sideboard. And we went down and, of course, she was, how would you like the sideboard? I said, well, what sort of varnish was it? She said, it was Durex varnish. I mean, I was quite embarrassed, really, because, I mean, I'd only just got married to Norma.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit, oh, God, what's she going to think?
Bless her heart.
I know, bless her. Oh, she was lovely. She was great. And Father was, he was okay. He had a pretty heavy job. He used to stoke the boilers.
Wow. You know, that is a heavy job.
With the coal, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
What the boilers in where?
In the factory. In the
To keep the factory fires burning.
The print works, yeah. It was called Schwab's. And I did an apprenticeship there.
Yeah.
When I left school at 14, I did an apprenticeship for in the engraving department, where they engraved the copper rollers to print on the fabric, you know, print.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I had to do 7 years apprenticeship. This was during the war.
Yeah.
And I was deferred. I didn't have to go into the forces.
Right.
Because I was deferred because of my apprenticeship. And I thought that after I'd finished my apprenticeship, I'd probably have to go, but I didn't go. They didn't send for me.
Were you relieved?
Well, I was a little bit, but I remember going for the medical for that in Manchester.
Yeah.
Where you walk up naked, which was quite...
God. An eye-opener.
And I passed A1 and I was going to join the Navy because my family are... Some of my ancestors have always worked on the water, on the sea. And
so was that your choice then? Would have been
my
the Navy?
Choice. It would have been my choice to be a sailor. Hello, sailor.
Welcome aboard, sailor. Did you enjoy the apprenticeship?
I certainly did. I learned quite a lot.
So explain a little bit more. So it was the brass. Or it was the...
It was the copper rollers.
The copper rollers that
were solid copper rollers, and they used to engrave onto the design onto the rollers. Like a design, if there were so many colours in a design, say 5, 6, 10 colours, you had as many rollers. Each roller was one colour.
And one layer of colour, and it built up the image. Is that right?
They used to go into the printing machine like that.
Yeah. Were you good at it?
Yeah, it was pretty good, So I passed pretty well with my apprenticeship.
Did you have any bosses who stand out in your memory, any of your supervisors?
Yeah, my first boss was a bit of a swine.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah. He was a bully. The men used to be afraid of him. And it used to, when I was, I mean, I was quite young, and it used to puzzle me why he used to shout and rave at them if they did anything wrong. And I remember I worked with about four or five of us were sketch makers.
Yeah.
We did the artwork, you know, the artwork.
Yeah.
And this man had done something wrong. And the boss came and stepped right into him And the man was shaking. And I was really, really upset about it. You know, I thought, my God. I mean, it wouldn't have been allowed today.
Did you have any of your mates with you from school who went to the same place?
Not from school, no. No, they were different ones.
But did you make good new friends when
you were
there?
Oh, yes, I did lots of new friends. We had, I had two friends, Ernie and Albert.
Yeah, good names.
And we used to go to Oldham Empire every Friday night to the show in Oldham Empire Theatre.
Mm.
We used to get the bus from Middleton to Oldham. And then we used to go to the second house at the in the theatre.
Yeah.
They had two houses. And that started at 20 to 9 till 20 to 11.
And what was the shows that were on?
Well, there were all kinds of shows. There were variety shows.
Yeah.
And then it sort of went down a little bit and they started putting these nude shows.
Oh, like the Windmill Theatre nude shows, yeah, that kind of thing.
Where the ladies were at the back of the thing posing. They weren't allowed to move in those days.
Yes, that's true. That was the laws. You were allowed to be nude, but you weren't allowed to move.
That's right.
Because then it was technically art.
Usually like a statue.
Yeah.
You know. And I always remember Ernie and I, Ernie had a girlfriend and I had my girlfriend, Norma. And we went to this show and we didn't tell them what it was.
I bet you didn't.
And as soon as the curtain went up, there's this man singing a song or something. Yeah. And at the back of the stage were these nude ladies all stood there posing.
Mm.
And I remember the picture of my wife's face.
Oh, well, you went. Oh, you took Norma with you.
I took her with us, and he took Irene, his girlfriend.
And so you knew what was coming up.
We knew what was coming up. We did, but fancy bringing us here. That I look at them; they haven't got any clothes on. And you just used to get some very good shows there at one time.
What were the kind of acts that you liked best?
I like the acrobats and people like, you know, and the trapeze artists and things. I love things like that.
It was like an old music hall bill, presumably,
Oh, yes.
So you had comics and...
That's right.
And what other kind of acts would appear? This was the Oldham Empire.
Oldham Empire.
And this would have been when? So this would have been...
The 1940s. And there were all kinds of acts. Jugglers, singers, dancers... Magicians, you know.
And if you went there every week, then there must have been something about that that appealed to you. Did that awake the performer?
Yeah, I think it did. Well, I don't know, because before that, I started doing an act in the clubs.
You did?
All around Manchester with another couple.
Yeah.
And we did a mime act.
Well, is this on the club circuit?
The club circuit in all Manchester area, Greater Manchester.
So there was you and who else in the act?
And Bill and May.
Yeah.
May was a lady.
Yeah.
And Bill and I. And we mimed to, there were multiple records in those days.
Right.
And there's a few tapes and things of people, famous people. You know,
yeah,
and we impersonated them, but we were miming it.
So you had to learn.
Had to learn
the whole speech of the different
the
people.
Whole thing, yeah, learn the song, mime it. We used to practice in front of a huge mirror.
Oh, like the ones you get in dance studios.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
and we'd practice and practice till you're absolutely perfect. Then we used to do female impersonations.
Oh, you did, or
yeah,
just...
Yeah, I did, yes.
Well...
I can show you a photograph.
Is that illegal?
Yeah, it is. And we used to do all the clubs and things. And the act, we used to do a lot of quick changes.
Yeah.
You know, you'd go on as two men and a woman.
Yeah.
And the next time you came on, there were three women. And the next time you came on, there were three men.
So did the audience think that they had 15, 20 people backstage?
Yes, they did, because I remember in one club where the dressing room was upstairs, up some stairs.
Yeah.
And when we'd finished, you know, that everybody had gone home.
Yeah.
As we thought. And we were coming out to the dressing room, coming down the stairs with the cases, you know, your costume.
Yeah.
There's this crowd of people. And they said, where are all the others? Where are they? There was three of us. They thought there was loads of people.
How brilliant.
In the show, you know.
My next question is, you've got a very elegant bone structure. Did you make a pretty lady?
Oh, yes.
Definitely. Were you?
I could show you a photograph.
As proof? Did you ever, was there ever any mix-ups when anyone thought, when everyone thought, you know, that you were available and also a woman?
I'll tell you a wonderful story. We were in this club doing our act, and we used to do the Beverly Sisters.
Oh, yes.
And I was the one in the middle, Joy Beverly.
Makes sense.
You know. And this particular night, my mother and father came to see us. We were doing this Beverly Sisters thing.
Mm.
And father went up to the bar, and there was a bloke there, and he was talking to him, and he said, I'll tell you what, he said, I wouldn't mind taking her home, the one in the middle. He said, you'd have a bloody fit, mate. That's my eldest son. And the bloke walked out of the club. He went.
There's no coming back from that, though, is there? There's nothing you could... He did the only thing you could do, and that's just leave.
Yeah.
That's the most dignified thing you could do at that
point. I know, but... I know.
What kind of people did you...
Well, we used to do... Bill and I used to do Bing Crosby and Judy Garland.
Who was Bill? Who was Judy?
I was Judy.
So you were Judy?
With the hat on. Yeah. And, you know, the wig and everything. May used to do Winifred Atwell on the piano. That was brilliant.
Brilliant.
He used to set the piano on the stage.
Yeah.
So that the audience couldn't see her hands.
Oh, got it. So
and
you just...
she'd be playing, you know, what she used to play. And everybody thought she was playing the piano. She wasn't really. And she used to do a good Gracie Fields. She was great as Gracie Fields.
Yeah.
And one particular night, her husband, David, used to work the machine, you know, the records and things.
Yeah.
And he'd had quite a few during the night.
Oh, so many good stories start that
she
way.
She goes on, and it was George Formby singing Leaning on a Lamp.
Did she carry on?
Yeah, just really not wrong.
Oh, my God.
It was marvellous. Yeah, it was really funny, that was.
So did you and May ever argue about who was going to be which woman?
No, I never did. She was a lot older than I was. In fact, her son was in my class at school.
Wow.
When I was at school. Yeah, she had two sons. Oh, and her other son came to work in the engraving when I... because I was still working in the engraving, you know.
Oh, all the time you were... what was the name of the act, by the way?
The Gay Deceivers.
The Gay Deceivers?
The Gay Deceivers. I mean, it wouldn't get away with that, I don't think, nowadays. Well, I don't know, we might, but... Okay, to see you. That's what we were called.
That sounds fantastic, though. What a brilliant act. How did you all find each other?
Well, you see, like I said, I used to be in pantos.
Oh, right.
In pantomimes. And Bill, this was at the... I used to go to a chapel, and we used to have a drama society, and we used to put on a Christmas panto.
Hmm.
And I used to play the dame in the panto.
Ah, so that's where it started.
That's where it started, you see. And Bill used to go to the parish church, and they used to put a panto on. He used to produce it. And sometimes he played the dame in this panto. You know, that's how it was.
So did you all have day jobs? What was Bill's and May's?
Bill worked for the... He'd been in the RAF, and he worked for the for the RAF. Yeah. I did some kind of office work or something like that. And May was just a housewife.
Yeah.
With three kids, you know.
And did you ever get any stick at work? You know, about the fact you got dressed up as women and did the club stuff?
No, I don't remember anybody saying that.
I wonder if Bill got any at the RAF.
Oh, I don't know. He probably did.
Yeah.
I remember we went to the RAF club where he was a member of.
Yeah.
And we did a charity show there. It was a variety show with different acts.
Yeah.
There was a juggler on and also a stripper.
Oh, hello.
And the stripper shared the dressing room with us, which, I mean... All girls together. And there was I didn't know about this, really. You know, she just came in and said, oh, I have to share with you. And I said, all right. And there's a mirror, and I'm doing the makeup. And I looked through the mirror, and there she was. Took a bra off and stuck two tassels on the end of a coin.
And how old were you?
That'd be about 18 and 19.
Blimey. Well, I tell you what, it sounds like an education.
It was an education.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. I know.
Of course it was brilliant.
She was the last act in the
show. Yeah, well, you can't follow that.
And I know, they were all RAF. Men, you know, in the show.
Oh my God! Yeah, I tell you, that would have been.
Yeah.
That would have been like a load of wolves looking at a chop.
I know. It was brilliant.
You can't follow Tasseltina.
I loved it. I used to love being in Panto, and I remember the first Panto we did was Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, really?
Humpty Dumpty. And I played Humpty Dumpty's mother in this, Henrietta. And they had this young boy as Humpty Dumpty, as a little boy.
Yeah.
And what we had to do was that there was the first scene was the wall.
Yeah.
With Humpty Dumpty, a model of Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall with his legs. There, and what it was a cutout thing. And my job was to, when there was a blackout, to rush on, undo this screw, and this thing went behind the wall.
Right. So it looked like he'd had a great fall.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it was behind the wall.
Yeah.
This little boy rushed on with a half one, put it down, and then he sat there behind it. The lights came up and there was Humpty Dumpty.
Right.
That was the thing. And this particular night, when I'm doing that, it's in a blackout.
Yeah.
I came on dressed in the, you know, in the Dame thing.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this. Somebody put the lights on.
So it looks like you're in the middle of murdering Humpty Dumpty. Standing over Humpty's corpse.
Look around at the audience. Oh my God, and they all went, way, you know.
I bet that was a
wonderful.
Of course it was. I bet that was the highlight of their night.
It was brilliant. And then there was one where that wasn't Humpty Dumpty, I think it was Sinbad the Sailor. My mum had to be at the side of the stage with my costume.
Yeah.
Right? But to get on there, she'd have to go on before the curtain came up.
Yeah.
And this particular night, she'd been gossiping in the backstage somewhere, and this scene was just after the interval, you see.
Yeah.
So the curtain came up and was doing me bit on this thing, and I had to look over the side of the boats and... Oh, how lovely the lights are on the coral reef. And I look down, and there's Mum on her hands and knees, and she looks up at me and said, got your costume.
Oh, God. Well, there's nothing worse than that.
And I had to change into a Hawaiian costume with the chorus girls that were dancing with me and doing this Hawaiian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny the way the pantos have changed? Because now it feels like it seems to be always Cinderella or Babes in the Wood.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yeah, it seems to be like...
Sleeping Beauty.
But I've never heard of the panto version of Humpty Dumpty or Sinbad. It's,
yeah, Sinbad the Sailor.
Which other ones did you do?
And we did Hey Diddle Diddle as well.
Oh, did you?
Hey Diddle Diddle, the Cat and the Fiddle.
Yeah.
The lady used to write them. And we used to get scripts and do them.
So is it like cheeky jokes? As the dame, you must have had all the cheeky jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they weren't too cheeky because we were in the chapel.
Yeah, well, I suppose so.
So they weren't very cheeky.
But of everyone there, you must have been the one who was seen as the cheekiest one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's why you got given that part.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was really funny. I used to love it, though. It was really, really, really good.
Wait, did you have a cheeky sense of humour when you were a lad?
Yes, I think I had. I think I had, really.
I think you still have, Joe.
A bit naughty. But, I loved the panto. The last one I was in was Aladdin.
Yeah.
I was with a twankie, and she was Aladdin.
And that's your daughter, Wendy?
That was my daughter, Wendy, yes. I don't know, it must have rubbed off onto her, I think.
Yeah, the smell of the grease paint, the roar of the crowd.
It's
hard to resist. it must have been all those nights at the Oldham Empire, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you're taking it all in and then you get your chance and you're out there.
Well, going back when I was about 8 years old,
yeah,
I'd never been to a theatre or anything like that. And my grandmother took me to Queen's Park Hippodrome, which was in Manchester.
Yeah.
It's not there now, it's been knocked down.
Yeah.
And that was the first theatre I'd ever been to see a show. And I was eight.
Yeah.
I always remember it. And it was The Arcadians, which was a musical comedy. And it was a story of a plane crashing down.
Yeah.
And the pilot landed in Fairyland. And they were all fairies and things and elves. And it was musical, you know, musical comedy. It was really good.
And it must have had a big impact.
Well, it must have been, I suppose. Because after that, we used to do concerts at home with my sister.
Oh, did you used to put on shows and things?
Yeah, when we had... people coming round, you know, friends and my parents and my sister and I used to put on a little show for them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did, yeah.
So what, like, because your sister was only 2 years younger, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Not Donald the Afterthought.
No.
He would have been too young.
He was a baby.
Yeah. Do you remember what kind of things you used to do? You used to put on, like, do little acts
Just sing. No, we used to just sing.
Yeah.
And that, you know, yeah. I remember my godfather, one Christmas, we went up to his house and he lived with his sister. She wasn't married, he wasn't married, he didn't marry. And he had another sister who was married with a husband.
Yeah.
He was a bus driver, like my grandfather was a bus driver.
All right.
And he used to play the accordion. And when my sister and I used to go to this, it was a huge house. It used to be a pub, I think.
Right.
And it had two staircases. I always remember it. Because we used to run up one staircase, along a corridor upstairs, and then run down the other side. But this Christmas, I remember it. As soon as you walked in, you could smell the cooking, the mince pies. They were making mince pies and things. We went in this other room and he'd rigged up this microphone and they had speakers in the kitchen where they were all in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And my sister and I sang at this microphone while he played the accordion and it came through into the kitchen and they could hear us.
Oh, wow.
Singing, yeah.
That must have been quite some high-tech kit for the time.
Well, it must have been.
That must have felt like quite a privilege.
It was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. going back to another PAM tour I was in, this is my brother. He was about, he'd be about 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And he came to see me in this pantomime, and it was the Queen of Hearts.
This will be just coming up for 1950, won't it?
It's something like that, yeah. It was a big hall, big stage, you know. And they say, where is the Queen? Where is she? Where is she? And I make the entrance at the back. Here I am. And as I came down the aisle, of course, Domo put his foot out, didn't he?
On purpose?
And I, yeah.
Little sod.
To trip me up. And I went, you know. And everybody thought he was part of the audience. They were laughing and all that.
Well, I bet you did. You, gosh, you, I bet you murdered him at the end.
I often tell him about it. Just, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was you. I know a story about him when he was about 7.
Yeah.
And we went, like I said, we used to go to the chapel.
Yeah.
And we had two chapels in Rhodes. One was the Primitive Methodists, which was the one we went to.
Yeah.
And then there was the Wesleyan Methodists.
Right.
And they were doing this thing. It was about missionary work.
Yeah.
And we went to see this thing, and on the stage were all these children dressed in different national costumes of different countries.
Yeah.
And Donald, of course, came with us, and he sat by us. And then at the interval, he said, I need to go to the toilet. That's how we used to talk.
Yeah.
So my mum said, well, you know where it is. Go on. We went. And then we were talking to somebody around and all that, you know, and then all at once it started again, the show. And she said, where's Donald? I said, he's gone to the toilet. She said, well, it's a hell of a while. No. So the curtains opened.
Yeah.
And all these children on, and there's little Donald dressed as an Indian with a turban. Yeah. We dragged him off.
They thought he was, he'd escaped from the stage and put a costume on him.
They put a costume on him and pushed him off.
That's brilliant.
He used to hate doing it, being in anything. He used to be in a couple of the pantos, I would say.
Yeah.
Because he was quite young, you know. And I remember when he was a soldier in it. And they were, you know, like toy soldiers.
Yes.
These tall hat things.
Oh, when the red, like the red, Nutcracker things,
yeah. Yeah. And they're all marching on and that. Then at the end, in the finale, they came on to do their bow.
Mm.
And he comes on and bows. And his hat came off and fell into the orchestra. I'm not going on there again anymore. Don't ask me.
Did the guy with the trombone give it back to him?
I know, terrible.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Dear, I don't know, it was great.
So you talked early on about taking your girlfriend at the time, Norma, to see a show, and she didn't realise it was...
Oh, yeah, she didn't realise.
Was that who you ended up marrying?
Yes, we got married in 1955.
What was your wedding day like?
Oh, it was lovely. Oh, it had been snowing, actually. It was in March.
Oh, really?
The 12th of March.
Yeah.
And a couple of days before, it had been snowing.
It was
bloody cold. It was really cold. And in the church, it was cold in the church as well. You know, I was shivering.
Yeah.
It was really cold. And Norma had to wear this lovely... There's a photograph up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she looks beautiful.
She was, yeah. She had to wear, like, a knitted thing underneath to keep her warm.
Yeah.
Because it was really cold. And I remember when we're getting in the car, everybody's throwing confetti, and somebody threw the box, and it hit me in the eye. And my eyes were started watering. And they said, oh, look at him, he's crying. And I wasn't crying.
Ha 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 ha!
We used to get followers when we used to do the act.
Did you? What, the yeah, gay deceivers?
The clubs, yeah.
Did you? And did they used to wait out? Did you ever have you ever written an autograph for someone?
Yeah, when I was in the big shows, in the when I was a member of the operatic society, the kids used to come. You know, they always give us a program.
Yeah,
and they used to say, "Will you put your name on my program?" And I used to put my name on the program.
That makes you feel quite important, doesn't it, when you have signed an autograph for someone?
Yeah,
that must be quite a nice feeling.
Yeah, it's a lovely feeling. You know, you think, oh well, I mean, the only kids, you know, that were in the show.
Yeah.
And so I was in quite a lot of the musicals,
yeah,
and things. But my favourite show was Me and My Girl.
Oh yes,
I loved it. I played the old man in it with the ear trumpet.
Oh right,
the old man and Sir Jasper.
Yeah,
Sir Jasper Tring. And most of the lines that was, I had this ear trumpet.
So after you did your apprenticeship in engraving, was it textiles you went to? So that was your job, but you did this performing thing lasted for decades.
It did, yeah.
So it was a lifetime of performing.
Performing and working as
well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a great way to blow off steam, just to go on, finish work, clock out for the day, and get the dress on, bit of lippy.
And go.
Yeah.
Go on and be a different person altogether. Really. Yeah. But I've done a couple of cabarets here while I've been here.
In Abergele?
And dressed up. Oh, yeah.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. I did last Christmas. I did Marlene Dietrich.
Did
singing, you? Falling in love, falling in love again. That one. Miming to it.
Yeah.
And
well, in all the clobber.
Long wig and everything, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And eyelashes and everything. Yeah. And there's a story. This is the story. My friend Ian, who comes here and, you know.
Yeah.
We're friends. And I always remember I was asked to do this thing because people knew what I had done,
yeah,
you know. And so I went down into the town with Ian, and I went into the charity shop.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell him what I was going to do. And I said, excuse me, but have you got a lady's shoe size 7, please? High heel. And he sort of looked at me and thought, and he didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And then I went into Ethel Austin and bought a pair of fishnet ties. I said, what's all this for? I said, it's for me. You know, she said, you're not on the change, are you? No, I don't think so. And then we went into Superdrug and bought some eyelashes. Oh, and makeup.
They probably thought you were on a promise.
I know.
So I know you came out of retirement for Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, it's Marlene.
But when did you hang up your dame's wig?
Iolanthe, yeah.
Iolanthe, what was Iolanthe?
A peer.
Oh, wow. Is that you?
Yeah.
I thought that was a king.
No, that's me.
Is that you dressed as a king?
No, dressed as a peer.
You look very... That's. I bet people look around your photos on your walls and think, bloody hell, this is a bit grand. So this is just the stuff... Because that's a good costume.
Well, it was. It was bloody heavy.
Yeah.
But it's really heavy. Could have a suit.
Well, that looks like proper ermine.
But the cloak was velvet, heavy velvet.
Yeah.
I mean, and underneath I had the full suit on. You know, and then that sweaty like.
Oh, it must have been so hot.
And there was quite a lot of us in it, you know, and I was sat on a log. And at the back of the stage, there was a corridor that you went down to the dressing room.
Yeah.
And they just dropped me down onto the thing, and they went down, and I'm lay on this thing, and my cloak was underneath the thing, so I couldn't bloody get up. Help! I'd been there all night if somebody had to come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's no way to go, is it?
Not really.
Nailed to the floor in a cloak.
Just, yeah, with the cloak was underneath and yeah. I had it on, so...
Yeah, you can't do anything.
Couldn't move.
Oh, my God.
It was really funny, that was.
And all this was all, you know, in the Manchester area, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah, all in the Manchester area, Stockport.
So how did you get from Manchester to Abergele, where we are now?
Well, we used to come to Rolls-on-Sea for holidays, yeah. My wife and I. We used to come every year. We really enjoyed it. It was lovely. It stayed at a really nice hotel there.
Yeah.
And we said we'd love to live round here somewhere like this.
Yeah.
And my wife loved it. She thought it was really great. And so we decided that the house we lived in was a bit too big for us after, you know, all the kids had gone.
Yeah.
And so I said, no, well, let's move somewhere. So we wanted to get a flat.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I rang one day and he said, oh, yes, we have a flat going in Abergele. Because you can come and see it.
Yeah.
So Wendy, she was driving a van. I don't know what
this is. That's your daughter, isn't it, Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy. Yeah. She was doing, I don't know if she was touring or what she was doing. Anyway, he had a white van. She yeah. had a white van. So my wife was in hospital.
Yeah.
She was poorly. She was in hospital. So we came to look at the flat here
yeah.
in the van and came to have a look at it. And, of course, it was empty. And we decided, and so we took photographs. And then we took them and showed no one. She said, oh, that looks quite nice.
Yeah.
It's only a one-bedroom flat. Well, we lived in a three-bedroom.
Yeah.
So I had to get rid of a load of furniture.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of decisions to be made.
Yeah, I know. And then, of course, we came here. And it was our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
And that was the 12th of March. And we moved on the 15th of March
yeah.
to here. And then
here where we are now.
Yeah, we are yeah. now. And we were here 12 months, exactly 12 months, almost to the day. Well, the 12th of March, and my wife died.
Oh.
She had cancer.
And, yeah.
She died on our wedding anniversary.
Did she really?
Yeah,
on the 51st?
There she is, there, look, with the welding glasses on.
Yeah, my nan used to have just the same pair, the really big ones.
They go underneath, your glasses are underneath.
Yeah, they go on top of your glasses.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
it, yeah, they're the big ones.
Yeah. It's called my welding. Oh, you're going welding today, aren't
you? Yeah. Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah.
But did she at least had a year here in a place that she loved?
Yeah, it was really, yeah, it was lovely. And I used to have to do the cooking and everything because she couldn't.
Are you a good cook?
Yeah, well, I think I am. I think I am. I cook now. I cook for me and Ian.
Yeah. So yeah. Is Ian like a friend you've made since?
He's a friend I made since then, you know.
Yeah, since Norma died.
Since Norma died.
Yeah.
And he came to live. His flat's downstairs.
Yeah.
And we got friendly and started going out and all that. But now he's mostly up here than he is in his flat.
Oh, is he?
And
that's quite nice, though, isn't it?
I cook the meals. He does all the shopping and everything and helps me. You know, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we have a really good laugh. Things that he says and that I say. And,
yeah.
You know, and he's really, really funny sometimes. Yeah. Things. He winds me up a bit. And,
well, of course he does.
Because he's really funny.
Yeah. So have you got any plans to resurrect Marlene Dietrich?
No, I don't think so. No.
One last show. You and Ian could dress up as the Beverly Sisters, as two of them.
Me and Jack did. Jack downstairs, we did it one Christmas.
Did you?
Yeah, we did the Beverly Sisters. Yeah, me with Jack. And I had that. I've got some photographs somewhere. I'll have to show you.
Yeah.
And showing me legs. Because the...
Do you know what that is? That means you're proud of your pins. So, we're in Abergele.
Right.
This is where we are now. If I were to say to you, what lessons have you learned? That if you wanted to impart a piece of wisdom to the younger generation that you've learned over your life, what would it be?
Keep your hand on your eight, Nick.
And that was Joe. And I have to say, he was a particular favourite of mine. A real enthusiast and the most ridiculously infectious life you've ever witnessed. As you'll have just heard, this podcast is about sharing some fantastic life stories. But there are well over a million chronically lonely people in the UK who have no one to share their stories with. If you'd like to know more about ways to change this, then please go online and visit campaigntoendloneliness.org and find out how together we can make loneliness a thing of the past. Christmas is nearly here too, so all the more time to check in on your elderly neighbours and see how they're doing. So, thanks again to Joe Alberston and his lovely daughter Wendy for manning the kettle for us, and also thanks to Acast for hosting this show. See you next time.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.